Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's on,
another wonderful day, VFN Radio. Talk to us.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah.
So how's the dog doing?
How's the dog doing?
How is the dog doing?
He is doing wonderful.
Very good.
Very rambunctious.
Man, they are some rambunctious dogs.
Yeah, when you wake them up.
Yeah, you're right.
When they're not sleeping 20 hours
they
a day.
They sleep all day.
Man. Oh, my goodness.
When they're awake, they're bouncing off the walls, and then it's just all of a sudden, crash. They're out.
Pugs breathe with just that smush nose? I mean,
Well, that's interesting you say that, because they do have trouble breathing. That's why they have these little short, bursts of energy, because they run out of oxygen because they can't get enough in their body. Yeah. Matter of fact, my vet told me, he says it's very common for these little dogs to have these types of surgeries to actually open up their sinuses.
Oh my goodness.
So they can breathe better.
That just sounds like more money to me.
Yeah, well, he'll just have to be more lazy.
Right.
More lazy, huh? Don't run around so much. Don't run around so much.
Yeah, no doubt.
I do want to welcome our new VFN Radio listeners today, Emma and Connie and Miguel and Denise. Tracy and Deanna, Patrick. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Do give a shout out to everyone out there in South Florida, Pastor Cindy in Lakeland. Oh, my goodness. It's so, so encouraging to see just what God is doing across the country and just in his church. We have a fantastic program that we want to share with you today, and excited that you're joining with us. And our hopes and desires is that you'll be encouraged and edified and charged to just continue to give it all to Jesus. We're going to be talking about today, giving it all, A-L-L, Pat and Chris, to Jesus.
All.
Nothing in the back pocket, giving it all.
Everything.
If you missed yesterday's program, my goodness, you want to make sure that you visit VFNTV.com and go to the highlights and select the torch. We talked about the tremendous blessing of the laying on of hands. Impartation, blessing, healing, spiritual gifts. My goodness, the Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And of course, our righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So you want to make sure that you be encouraged. We talked about another person, Pat and Chris, another person. Mm-hmm. Seems like this has taken a life on its own there on Facebook, but another person had the earth swallowed up underneath them.
I know, right?
And this is a gentleman in Illinois, Waterloo, Illinois, and he's playing golf. And I was just actually thinking about that again last night. I'm just thinking about that. It was four guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Three or four guys. It was like one. It just opened up under one. 18 feet. I mean, we're chuckling here. It's not really funny, but it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, wow. 18 feet. And they had to get a 12-foot ladder and a rope to pull him out. And at any moment, he could have went down.
Yeah, deep, like the other dude.
The guy went down 100 feet.
Yeah, he didn't come out.
He didn't come out. They buried him in there and put flowers. Did you see that? They put flowers in that hole when they covered it back up. Mm. So not only did the earth opened up, swallowed his bed in his room. This is the first time this happened, and we shared this on VFN Radio.
Mm-hmm.
You can search this under Earth Opens Up, and you'll see two segments. But after they were moving stuff around with this crane, they started filling the dirt back up, and it was just like he was buried in there.
Yeah, we couldn't find him.
Couldn't find him, and who knows if he was buried alive? I mean, the body's resilient. I mean, maybe he died on impact, but it's just the whole point that we were talking about this is that, you know what? At any moment, anything could happen to any of us, and this is a warning. Mm-hmm. If you know, the wise looks at this and says, "Wow," you know, they don't say, you know, freak accident. They might have said that the first time. This is the second time.
Yeah.
You know, a wise person looks at it and says, yeah, I need to evaluate my life. The earth may or may not open up underneath me, but something else could happen that my life could be over. And at that particular time, when it's over, if I'm hanging on for dear life, that's not the time to evaluating, you know, your life. People say sometimes that when they're in bad situation, they say, oh, my life flew right before me. It's like, that's not when I want my life to fly right before me. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have a reel of all my, all the moments that I had in my life when I'm looking at death's door. You can play that reel now in your mind and evaluate your life and how it's been going and to see, get some wisdom. You know, has it worked out for you? Has it worked out for you? Has your wisdom and what you've been listening to, or if you've been following the Lord and you've seen the fruit over your life, this should bring great encouragement to, for you to say, wow, you know what? There's value in the voice of the Lord. There's value in giving my life completely to Him. There is tremendous value in giving God first place. And you can begin to start connecting either dots of despair and say, oh, yeah, that's when that happened. And then that's when that happened. And I didn't take that counsel, and that's when that happened. And, oh, yeah, wow, maybe I need to evaluate. Or you may have an experience that says, let me connect this dot and that dot and that dot. And you're looking at a beautiful picture, an opposite picture that says, wow, we just trusted God there, and we just obeyed the Lord. And we didn't do our will, but we did God's will. And we just did what was right, and we just trusted the Lord. And look what God made out of all of this. Look what this beautiful picture of our life has been, and we want to continue that way. And you know, oftentimes we're signs and wonders to other people how we've lived our lives, and you're a sign and a wonder. And the thing is that what is your life pointing to? What is our life pointing to? Is it pointing to the joy and the blessing of the Lord, or is it pointing to foolishness and different things like that? And that's why we share wisdom moments. And if you go on the torch, you'll find, I mean, we have over 1,200 highlights on the torch. You will find some wisdom moments on the torch.
Yes, you will.
And that's why the Lord wants us to have wisdom. Not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God. Mm. The wisdom of God. And God wants to give us His wisdom. The book of James tells us in the Bible that if we ask, we'll get. If we're not double-minded, we will get wisdom. And there's nothing like it. I mean, there's nothing like it, because in life you face so many decisions and you have so many things going on. You want to make sure that you invite the Lord into your plans, right?
No doubt.
You want to seek the Lord. If you want to evaluate, we're talking about the earth opening up underneath another man for the second time in less than a month, I would dare say. You know, for maybe 5 weeks at the most, maybe. And it's for all of us to I believe, to just reevaluate, to think. And what can we do better? And what can we do in terms of following the Lord? So exciting. In fact, hopefully we'll get a chance to this in the extra hour. We're going to be talking about the will of the Lord, the will of the Lord. And Jesus said, not my will. Not my, but your will be done. We're going to talk about the will of the Lord. I'm believing it's going to encourage you. Yesterday, we talked about one life. Mm-hmm. One life. And we talked about how, you know, imagine what you could do if you gave your whole life to God. If you seized the vapor called life. You want to just go on the torch and you can spend some time there. I love scrolling through there, my sons and family and friends and just folks that are connecting with us all over VFN Radio. We're just hearing so many wonderful reports and so many encouraging posts on Facebook, and we just continue for you to be encouraged. and also to pass this encouragement on. Pass this encouragement on, because many people are looking for a watering hole. They're looking for a place where they can be refreshed and be encouraged. Mm. And if you've been encouraged by the program, continue to share that along. Guys, I don't know if you caught the news, but this was on the news cycle yesterday that there's a new pope.
Yeah, I saw that.
There is a new pope. The white smoke came out, I guess, out of the chimney there. It's a little chimney thing that they put up there. And for the first time, the Catholic Church has actually elected a pope from Latin America. Uh-huh. And he took on the name Francis. And this was Francis of Assisi. I don't know much about Francis of Assisi except one of my favorite quotes. And he actually said it. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words."
Mm, I love that one.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And he was known as a man of humility. And you got to be really humble. I like that quote. I mean, it reflects humility, because it's not about what we say, but it's always more about what we do. Our life preaches louder than any of our words could ever say. And so they have voted for Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably not saying his last name the best there, but this is Pope Francis, and he has the task now of leading the Catholic Church. And so pray for them, and pray that God will give him the wisdom that he needs to lead those that are in the Catholic Church to an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, and pray for them. And just bless them, and just see what God's going to do. But there's a lot of people that are praying, and that's the most powerful thing that anyone could ever do. Is always pray, the power of prayer. We'll be right back.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24/7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
It definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you, it's a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person. It's living and
active. Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called, and by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we were just talking about some of the just amazing highlights from yesterday. And you want to make sure that you go to The Torch by going to VFNTV.com. Guys, I don't know. You know, there are some things to complain, you know, about, I guess. I don't know. But would you believe that? Would you, I don't like complaining, but just listen here. People are getting on to Michelle Obama, okay, the first lady, and they're getting on her on the president. And I mean, there's just some things you're just like, really?
All right.
They're complaining and just saying things that the president and Miss Obama, the first lady, Michelle Obama, don't socialize enough. They don't party, they don't socialize enough. And you're thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, when you see people make senseless attacks that just don't make any sense whatsoever, you kind of just throw, you know, it's like you want to just disregard everything there. You know what I mean? It makes every other real statement that you're saying put in question. You're like, I thought you were right, your perspective, and then you came with this off the wall comment here. It's like, I have to reevaluate your judgment process here. But yeah, she just gave an interview not too long ago with a Vogue magazine, and she said that that her and the president were very straightforward, that before moving from Chicago to Washington when he won the presidency, when they came there in 2009, that their family, and you know, including their two young daughters, would be their priority. And you know, she stresses in that article that, you know, the pressures of the White House are so real that they prefer to spend, you know, their free time with their daughters, who are now Malia and Sasha, 14 and 11. I mean, these girls have grown up right before the country. But I mean, kudos to them. You know what I mean? Kudos to them. That they value family and they value spending time with their children. I mean, today it just seems like so many people rather leave a child behind than to take a child with them, and children are seen as, you know, sometimes as a nuisance and not the blessing that they are. And so I think that they've really done a good job it appears in really just being, you know, he's always talking about his daughters and they're talking about the things that they have to do with them. And she says our job is first and foremost to make sure our family is whole. I think that's a pretty good value. I think that's a pretty good high value that our job is first and foremost to make our family whole. Sometimes people get so caught up in their job, it could be even a good job, a great job, that they neglect the ones that are right around them, that are so, you know, important to them. She says, you know, we have small kids and they're growing every day, and it's important for them to make them their priority. And I just thought that was great. I don't believe, you know, that pressure is merited on them for them to go out and socialize and well, I guess party. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
right.
But glad to know that they are parents, that no matter what position of power and pressure and the things they have going on, that, you know, because people can easily justify, I have an important job to do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's called kids. You know what I'm saying?
Hello.
It takes time. It takes patience.
A lot of effort.
And a lot of effort to parent, you know, to be a good parent. And you want to make sure that you're investing in your children. And one of the most powerful ways that you can do that is to raise them up in the fear of the Lord, to raise them up in the things of God, to model for them the ways of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and to be there for them. And to be there for them, it's just really, really powerful. I'm so encouraged by the years that we have done the Next Step and Outback and the camping trips, and how we've just connected so many parents mm-hmm. with their children together. I mean, it's just been such a wonderful, wonderful, I mean, years, so over a decade
mm-hmm.
of just planting and sowing and facilitating the opportunity of what Malachi tells us, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the father. And we've seen it. We've seen it with our own eyes. And it's just so, so, so cool and very, very encouraging. Very, very encouraging. The other thing I want to share with you guys, and this just came up yesterday, we talked about Fourth Amendment rights, unreasonable search and seizure. And we've been talking about drones. Have you seen any drones lately, Pat? Have you seen any drones?
Not that I'm aware of.
Chris, have you seen any drones?
Can't say that I have.
Can't say that.
Of course, you're not supposed to see them, right? That's the whole idea.
Right, right.
Well, you know, we shared last, I don't know, I can believe it was last week or so, 2 weeks ago, that drones were outside of a New York airport. I mean, an airport, no less. Well, we just talked about the importance of Fourth Amendment rights and how they protect us from unreasonable search and seizure and basically afford us the right to privacy. Well, you will know that just yesterday, Google actually conceded that they were doing drive-by prying of people's privacy. Remember, you know, those wonderful Google Maps that you have on your phone.
Uh-huh.
It gives you such clear pictures of neighborhoods.
A street view. Mm-hmm.
Well, Google had cars out there. They had cars all over the country and world. I don't know how they pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
And they were taking pictures, but they were also not just taking pictures, but they were gathering, guys, private information off of people's open Wi-Fi networks. When you don't secure your Wi-Fi,
mm-hmm.
anyone can just have access to your computer at home and just pull all your information right down from there.
Yeah.
I want you to listen to this interview from the New York Times and them talking about this, because this was kind of a big deal. It's a huge deal, and just listen up.
Google pays $7 million as it admits to privacy violations and promises to change its ways. I'm Marcus Mabry for the New York Times. Google admits that it violated privacy rights when it casually scooped up emails, passwords, medical and personal information, and lots more during its Street View mapping project. Scott Cleland is a consumer watchdog, and we should say is a consultant for Google's competitors. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Scott, you're there in Washington. This is 38 state attorney generals who brought suit against Google, and Google will pay $7 million and implement some changes. Tell us about those changes.
Well, the big one is that they need to do a TV and newspaper campaign that explains to people that their Wi-Fi routers at their home may be unencrypted. And if they're unencrypted, they can enable somebody like Google or someone else to record their private information. The problem is most Americans don't know that they need to encrypt that. And Google drove all around the United States and recorded and vacuumed up all that information.
Scott, Nikki Fenwick, a Google spokeswoman, told the New York Times, and I quote, "We work hard to get privacy right at Google, but in this case we didn't, which is why we quickly tightened up our systems to address the issue." Now, some of these prescriptions, actually, to address this issue may be surprising. For instance, Google has to provide refresher training in privacy for its lawyers. Now, that seems strange for a huge technology company to have to do that. And I should also add, $7 million is, you know, nothing for Google. They net about $32 million in a day.
It's a minuscule fine, but the important thing here is that basically what Google had to do was they had to settle with the states. In the United States, we have a problem. There's basically no good federal privacy legislation at all related to the internet in the internet age. The state laws do apply, and that's what's significant here is now the Google is basically saying we do have law enforcement that we need to pay attention to because they pretty much ignore the Federal Trade Commission. So that's the big takeaway here.
Why were the state attorney generals able to do what the federal government and Germany, actually, who also tried to bring a case and dropped it last fall against Google, why did the state succeed where these governments failed?
Well, first of all, the state laws are tougher and tighter, but the Federal Trade Commission has kind of unilaterally undermined itself because it decided a while back that privacy wasn't an anti-competitive issue. And so, you know, it undermined and kind of cut its one of its main authorities in order to address privacy.
What does the settlement mean for future product development from Google, like Google Glasses, for instance, or Google Glass?
Well, it's very significant. It's good that you asked that. Google's been on a creepy escalation. Remember, they read Gmails to target personal ads. Then they went around and took people's pictures of people's houses, and a lot of people didn't like it. And then they recorded these Wi-Fi signals. And with Google Glass, basically what they can do is the equivalent of shoving a microphone in everybody's face and recording all these conversations, being able to stalk video and record people, and they can't say no. So I think that Google Glass is going to be a big, big problem. Essentially, you're going to have thousands or millions of glassarazzi out there going in and recording people. And I think the states, and they've signaled under this Wi-Fi agreement, states are going to have a big problem with it, because if they think there's a problem with the random collection of a few seconds of Wi-Fi private data, recording private conversations, or at least the conversations that people think are private, like essentially, having a private conversation with your spouse or a friend at a store.
They concede that they were, look at the language here, casually scooped up passwords, email, and other personal information from unsuspecting computers. How do you casually scoop up?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's called stealing. Saying is a nice word for taking something that doesn't belong to you. Mm-hmm. They casually scooped up. It took 38 attorney generals to file this suit. When you think about it, and a settlement of $7 million? They make $32 million a day. You know what that is in 30 days in 1 month? That's $960 million.
Wow.
$960 million, and they get
$1 billion.
A month. That's how much money they earn. And this is just ridiculous when you think about your right to privacy. Not only are there cameras everywhere, but now, this is what they admitted to now. This is what they finally admitted to, and it took a court case. Mm-hmm. But then you talk about these Google Glasses, and we've talked about this technology. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. It's great. Well, you know, this guy, Scott Cleland, says that Google puts innovation ahead of everything and resists asking permission. Mm-hmm. And so it's like all this technology is great, it's great until you're the one that's being recorded, And all the time people say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. That's besides the point. We're not talking about doing anything wrong. We're just talking about you're having a private conversation. Mm-hmm. And who wants to have their private conversation recorded and uploaded to Google? It's on Google servers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's on Google servers. There's one, and remember that these Google Glasses haven't quite come out yet. They're $1,500 and they're still looking for beta testers. They're about to come out soon, but already one restaurant has already banned people from coming into the restaurant with Google Glasses.
A restaurant?
Already. Wow. The restaurant bar type thing, they already said, you know, we don't, if you come in here with them, we're not going to serve you. You're not allowed to come in here with those on, which I would imagine you're going to see a whole lot of that happening. But even last summer, the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, fined Google $22.5 million for, again, bypassing privacy settings on the Safari browser. And they had to admit that they were using deceptive tactics when it started its Buzz network. And it's just amazing. And so now they're going to have to put out all this information and make videos on YouTube warning people of essentially what they did to gather your private information. You know, here's the connecting of the dots. You hear us talking about the Constitution. You hear us talking about why, you know, our amendment, our Bill of Rights are so important and why we need to cherish these amendments. Well, here's the connection to the dots. Why? Because people are stealing your personal information. Hmm. No one should have the right to do that. No technology company. There's no good. And that's the whole thing. People sacrifice their personal rights often, supposedly for the good of the people, for the good of the technology. Mm-hmm. There's no good that where you should sacrifice your personal privacy like that and put yourself in jeopardy and your family's life in jeopardy.
Right.
They search Gmail email, which is a free email.
Mm-hmm.
It might be worth buying your own email. I don't know. But your own Gmail email, they actually search it so that they can tailor that advertisement towards you. And to know that all those Gmail accounts that are open all across the country and the world is just absolutely amazing. We talked about emails before based on the Electronic Communications Act. And this was an old act back in the 1980s that basically it was an act that basically says that emails that are older than 6 months are considered abandoned.
Right.
It's going on right now. Over 180 days. And all that is required to obtain content of those emails is for a law enforcement agency to provide a written statement certifying that the information is relevant to investigation. That is by far different than actually requesting a search warrant. I mean, it's literally nothing. And so all those emails that people think that are stored and it's their own private password,
mm-hmm.
they're considered abandoned. You're only 6 months, the last 6 months, are actually protected.
Wow.
So I believe that as we continue to be informed, as we continue to talk about this, as we continue to discover our Constitution again, rediscover our Constitution, that the American people are going to wake up and they're going to make sure that they have representative government that says, listen, we want laws that reflect our rights. We want laws that reflect our privacy. We don't want people videoing us. We don't want people pilfering and companies through our emails. And that includes the government. That includes the government. You know, the Constitution is not to protect the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's to protect us, the citizen. You know what I'm saying? It's not to give the government more rights. It's for us. It's for us to have rights and have them protected. And so we want to encourage you, get updated, get yourself a pocket constitution. You can order them anywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I just saw not too long ago someone on national television, a correspondent, pull out their constitution. And, I mean, everyone's pulling out a constitution these
yeah.
days.
Mm-hmm.
And who would have thought that we would have to go into and rediscover
remind people.
And remind people and get educated ourselves on what are our rights. But you're seeing just a ton of infringement and violation. And it's something that we should, you know, absolutely wake up to. We're glad for this lawsuit that they conceded this, but let's see what else is going to happen. You know, right now, not even with that, but just recently in the news too. I don't know if you know this, but the First Lady has been hacked. their information, and a bunch of other celebrities. I mean, a bunch of other celebrities have been hacked, and other politicians. And right now, the Secret Service is involved in finding out what in the world happened. But if the First Lady can be hacked, and you know, allegedly, it's you know, financial records, all of that type of stuff.
Oh, wow.
And actually, President Obama was meeting with CEOs to push some more cybersecurity legislation. And that's going to be interesting to see what really comes out of all of that. But in the midst of all of this, you don't forget that you can see the whole internet absolutely change.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can see everything absolutely change. We were looking to share more about this, but it is happening. Everything is open. The internet is the wild, wild west. And you want to be careful. You want to be careful. Change your passwords. We'll be right back. Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, yeah. I wasn't talking about that miracle. I was talking about another miracle.
Oh,
that miracle. The one that you received
again.
Don't you remember?
Come on, man.
Help me.
You were driving across the plains of America in the storms, and we're talking about the goodness of God in the land of the living, and We were talking about, this is what happened, Pat.
Obviously, he's got amnesia.
So, you know, we're talking about the Lord and all these wonderful things that God's doing. And all of a sudden, he's in all this traffic. I don't know, probably 8 lanes of traffic, I'm imagining. I can ask him when we finish talking about him. and all of a sudden, he just interrupts our conversation with, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness,
what happened?
Maybe he can't reach the accelerator. I'm thinking, what's going on? What's going on right here?
Get another phone book. Quick.
Yeah, go. That pillow thing may have slid out. And so I'm thinking, this is dangerous in traffic. You know, you got to be able to reach those pedals. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what it was. And then finally, he let me know that he was out of gas.
Oh, are you serious?
He was out of gas, and he was like, it was raining. I can tell it was raining because his wipers were going, boom, boom. His phone picks up so good. I'm like,
everything.
I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail because I'd be lost. But anyway, and it was just over. He's going to be stuck on the side of the road in the middle of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, another state because he was heading back to his state. And we prayed. He prayed. I said, okay, I'll let you go.
Bye.
Let me know how it goes.
I said, I'll let you go.
You didn't stay in prayer.
I'm sure you can work this puppy out. I'll let you go. You know, we just said a prayer for him. Dear God, help John.
Those always seem to work.
And next thing you know, I get a phone call and he gives me a testimony that God just caused the car to begin to run on fumes. It ran on fumes all the way to a gas station.
Oh my God.
And he got gas.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That doesn't ever happen for me.
No. Well, John gets extra miracles.
He gets extra
credit. He gets totally extra miracles. You know, you're just too smart. John and I need a lot more miracles than you.
We need a lot of miracles.
Yeah. That's amazing. So back to you, John.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, the car stopped.
You didn't look at the gas gauge.
Rain. Gas. And I got caught up talking to, Mr. You-Know-Who. And so we're having this in-depth conversation. We're having such a great conversation. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to get gas. So
he knew this because his car began to jerk all over the road. Not because he looked in the direction of the gas gauge.
Needle, yeah.
Hiccups. And so it was an experience. It was an experience, to say the least. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris.
Got a question.
Listen.
Don't
ask no questions, okay?
Do you carry a gas can with you?
Listen to me. You are not allowed to ask questions, all right?
Come on, man. I'm helping you out. You, brother, need
this is a word of wisdom.
A gas can in your trunk. At all times.
I may take your wisdom. I just I have miles.
It's
and
obviously
miles.
Looking at the gas gauge doesn't work.
Oh my goodness! It was pouring that day too. It was crazy, man. I was actually following somebody and I couldn't see them talking to, who, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my goodness. Then there was an in-depth conversation. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. Well, we talked about privacy in the Fourth Amendment. The extra hour, we're going to have a special treat for you, and you can listen to that as well. But we're going to talk about it was considered treason, Pat, treason to preach the gospel.
Right.
And in some places, it still is.
Right.
But we're going to talk about that in the extra hour. But I was thinking, we were talking the other day about the rich young ruler, and it's just amazing how the Lord just continues to speak to the rich young ruler.
Oh, I know, right?
And his life, but it's just amazing. You can't allow anything in your life, can't allow just anything, nothing, no thing that will cause you to love anything more than the Lord and to obey him. I mean, there's just like nothing that you could treasure, nothing that you could keep in your heart. And most people say, oh, there's nothing. Oh, you'll be surprised. Mm. You'll be surprised. There's nothing that I value more, rather, than to love God and to obey God. And you ask people, what is your highest value in life? That's a really important question. What is your highest value? Right. Oftentimes, they may say their family, they may say God, but what does that really mean? Is your highest value to obey the Lord? Is to love the Lord? Is to follow Him? And in this account of the rich young ruler, and this is found in Luke 18, he comes up to Jesus and basically asks the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he goes on to give the Lord his resume of how well he has obeyed these commandments. He's probably sticking his chest out there. I've done this. I've done that. And it's amazing what Jesus's reply was. He said, "You still lack one thing."
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes people think because I'm 95% right. I've done 90% good.
Right. God just wink at that 5%.
Yeah, interesting how Jesus didn't grade him on the curve. You know what I'm saying? Like, nope, you still lack one thing. One thing. And God wants all of you. Not some of you, not 80% of you, not 99%. He wants all of you. Mm-hmm. And he said, no pass. No pass. You still lack one thing. And the thing about Jesus is that he knew that if this rich young ruler didn't deal with the one thing, he really truly couldn't follow him. Mm-mm. He didn't have his heart.
That's right.
So you can look at that and say, man, Jesus is pretty, you know, gosh, look at all the good stuff this guy did. This guy's pretty good.
Right.
You know, some would say, well, he's a rich young ruler. Bring him in. You know, look how good he is.
Yeah, look at the money he's got.
not, right? And it's like, it would appear maybe to some that maybe Jesus is a little, wow, this one thing, you can't let go of this one thing. No, it's the one thing that's going to take him down. Mm-hmm. It's the one thing that he wasn't willing to give up. It's amazing how it's easy to, you know, obey the word that you do like, and so much easy to forget those scriptures that you don't like. It's just
it's the okra principle, right?
Yeah. Don't like no fried okra, so, you know, it's amazing. It's like you always stay in the Psalms and the Proverbs, you know? It's like, how about reading the whole word? I try to avoid that part. I try to avoid that part. Mm-hmm. Everybody could have a one thing. Everybody can have a one thing, and you got to really search your heart and to really find out if there's anything that will come between you and the Lord. I mean, Peter said, I'd never deny you. Jesus, I'm with you. But there was a time of testing, and Jesus' words came true, mm-hmm. right? Before you hear the crowing of that bird three times, you're going to deny me. And in the rich young ruler's mind and in Peter's mind, they were convinced. They were convinced that they've done all this great stuff. And yet still they lacked one thing. And you need to settle it in your heart. In verse 22, Jesus says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. Then, after you deal with this issue, mm-hmm. after you deal with this thing, come, follow me. And what you let go of and what you hold on to will determine what you get in your walk with God. This is so true. Whatever you let go of and whatever you choose to hold on to would really has tremendous impact on your walk with the Lord. In verse 23, we continue to hear that when he heard this, when the rich young ruler heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. And those who had heard him asked, who then can be saved? And the Lord says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. I mean, the only way that we can give it all to the Lord is by the grace that Jesus provides us. You know, we need the grace of God in our life. We you're not going to be able to just give up stuff and get things out of your life and just whatever, you know, it doesn't work like that. You know, God's grace is God's supernatural empowerment to help us do what we couldn't do on our own. Mm-hmm. You know, the rich young ruler had a choice. He could have fell to his knees and say, oh my goodness, you're so right. This is an issue in my life. And give me grace. Give me grace just to say, here it all is. But he went away sad. And you think that his destiny was totally just changed in one decision. Mm-hmm. What he held dear to his heart was more important than Jesus' own words to him. I mean, that alone should really just speak to us, because if not, we're not willing to give it all. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about some of these missionaries that have been all over the world. It's like, and you shared it the other day, that those who have given up houses and homes. Mm-hmm. Listen, God's not only going to bless you in this life, but in the life to come.
That's right.
That we do have to hold things loosely. God doesn't mind us having things, but he minds things having us. And he wants us to live a surrendered life to him. That the only thing that matters is Jesus. You know, it's his word, it's his truth. And that verse says, then Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the kingdom, will fail to receive many things, will fail to receive many times, rather, as much in this age and in the age to come. I mean, you want to hold everything loosely. It's just a powerful, powerful time to remember that, because, you know, what God has in store for you, what God has in store for you is greater than the thing that you're holding on to. But you got to be willing to let go to get. And sometimes, Chris, you remember this. We talked about this years and years ago. But, it, you know, faith oftentimes is swinging on the vine. And, you know, the temptation is to wait to see that other vine, you know, right. come. When you see that vine come, then I'll jump, right?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God just wants you to just to swing on that vine, do that Tarzan yell, and just jump, knowing that he's got you.
That's right.
That he's got you.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's just time. It's just time to just to be there. And I think about the rich young ruler and all the different things that were kind of running through his mind, all the different temptations, all the different stuff. And many people are at a crossroads. They're at a crossroads where they're saying, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
All right.
What am I going to do? You know, you can't say that Jesus is all you got until he's like, you know, all you have. You know what I mean? You
That's
can't,
right. When you got nothing, you know, else.
Yeah. There's comes a time where you really start asking yourself and looking deep and say, you know, does he have it all? Mm-hmm. Does he have it all? Does he have my whole heart, my whole life? You know, and it's time like never before to say, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to allow not a single thing to come in between me and you. I'm not going to let any mindsets, concepts, any types of control or family or just anything. Mm-hmm. Anything, because there's so many legitimate reasons that people can come up with to say, well, you know, I've had this wealth all my life. This is going to be such a rough thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If he would have, I mean, imagine if he would have given that up. For him, it was wealth. This is not about everyone giving up their wealth. For him, his issue was wealth. For you, it could be something else. It could be a house.
It could be family.
It could be family. It could be a job.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are so tied to a job because they want to be responsible for their own provision that they couldn't possibly think of doing something else or changing, you know, careers because they want this one job.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that if God has your life and your whole reason that you exist and live is to give him glory, then your life is not about your job. Your life is not about any of these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you do, everything that you walk into, everything that you touch, every relationship, every job, everything that's about you should all be about reflecting glory back to the Lord.
Right.
And so, you know, it's all about living a surrendered life to him. And we can learn a lot from this rich young ruler. He thought to himself, he then gave it all up.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus knew that he lacked the one thing. And that one thing, in Jesus' wisdom, he says, once you deal with that, then you can come and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Time to do a heart check.
Absolutely.
And it's time to search for that one thing.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.